This is Ethnically Ambiguous.
Episode 37.
This is Anna.
This is Shireen. And today, we are going to talk about Vic Mensa and an article he wrote for Time.com about Palestine. And I'm also going to shout out some Muslim and Middle Eastern artists.
And we will touch briefly on the Iranian shooter at the YouTube headquarters. And then I will break down Iranian New Year the best I can. So stay tuned.
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born? We are Ethnically Ambiguous.
Okay, we're here and we're ready to go. Things are popping off. All right, Shireen, how was your week?
It was great, and it's episode 37 of Ethnically Ambiguous. I had a good week. My film premiered on NoBudge.com. Woo, NoBudge! It stands for No Budget. It's a little collection of indie films curated by this guy, Kentucker Audley, who's a filmmaker on his own.
That's not his real
right?
name.
That is his real name.
I don't believe it.
Kentucker
Audley?
I mean, I'm Audley with A-U. I mean, like, he's white. He's probably a name he made up. But, like, I got a lot of good feedback. I made it, like, a year and a half ago, and it feels good to finally put it out there. That was a highlight of my week.
Nice.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thanks. If you guys want to watch it, you should go check it out. NoBudge.com. It's called Fall.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, how was your week?
Nothing. Just watch the Yodeling Kid remix 1,000 times in a row, and that's about it.
This is very true, because I walked into the office today, and Anna was blasting the Yodeling remix, it hasn't gotten old yet. It has not gotten old yet in Anna's world.
It will never get old.
Yeah.
Because it's genius.
It is catchy, I will give you that.
That kid can fucking yodel.
Yeah, I think it's an unexpected talent for someone to have.
Like, who can still yodel?
I mean, if you're white, I guess it's more of a chance you can yodel.
In a Walmart. I didn't know. I should be like... putting on shows at Walmart.
Well, it was very much planned. Like, there was someone was taping him being like almost like ready, set, go. Like, so someone wanted him to do it.
I don't know if it was planned necessarily, but someone maybe was like, oh, you look nice. Maybe you should, like, maybe he was going to a yodeling performance or something. If you haven't seen this video, oh boy, do you have something fun to look forward to. Yeah, he's dressed all nice, a tiny little boy. He yodels with his entire body. It is fascinating to watch.
Yeah, it's a lost art, the yodel.
He's doing a song by Hank Williams, and it's just so silly. Yeah, I feel like someone was like, show the family friend that we ran into at Walmart you're yodeling, because you're dressed up too. Because no one was like, yeah, and so, yeah, I've got a show at 5 here, a show at 6 at Walmart, and then I'm hopping over to the old community center.
You know, I think having a show at Walmart would actually be pretty good as far as just like the demographic you would hit, you know? Something sad that happened, unfortunate that happened, I would guess. I mean, not, yeah, unfortunate, sad, and disturbing was that YouTube thing that happened in San Bruno, YouTube headquarters.
Yes, this Iranian-American woman went and shot up YouTube because they deleted her account. Whatever, we've all been there.
I think they were just, she had this idea that she wasn't getting any views because they were filtering her stuff. And and when we found out she was Iranian-American, me and Anna and Sophie, our producer, we had like a 3-person text exchange, and we were just like, damn, she's Iranian. We're like, damn. And then like a couple minutes later,
yeah, like, oh,
she's also vegan. And I was like, no, all of our exes are checked.
Yeah, first I was kind of like, not a good look. And then after a while, when I started to look her up, I was like, this bitch is crazy first, Iranian second.
She was disturbed for sure. I think she needed some help. But it's just a sad situation. And the only fatality was herself. So there's that. But it's kind of weird. Like, every time something like that happens, I just, like, I'm waiting to hear their ethnicity, just, like, hoping they're not brown. But that's kind of
fucked up. Her name is Nasim Nafaji Agdam.
Yep, that's Persian.
Oh, not Nafaji. Najafi. Dyslexic.
Yeah, so...
Her family says, they were in shock. They show a picture of her family's home. Of course, it's affluent. Goddamn Persian sometimes.
Yeah, she's
rich beyond
I think they're from, she was like reported missing and then they found her up in NorCal and then she went and shot up YouTube.
Yeah, so. Her family's from like San Diego County area.
Well, so. I am sorry for their loss. And that was our week.
There is no, yeah. like no Iranian father will ever, ever, ever take any sort of blame for their children's behavior, even though 90% of how they act is by how they were raised by that father.
I mean, yeah, I think how you're raised is one thing, but there's also like your own responsibility for how you present yourself. I also believe
true that. But it just drives me crazy that Iranian fathers will just like low-key just be like, you know, I don't know what happened. It's like, you do kind of know what happened because you lived with her and you raised her, so
yeah,
you must have had some idea.
Yeah, it's sad.
Of her, like, animosity.
And we did talk about this before on the podcast, but, like, mental illness isn't, like, a topic that's, like, readily discussed in Middle Eastern culture. So I'm sure that was also part of it. Like, if your child is, like, sad or upset, it's not your first thought. It's like, oh, maybe they have a mental illness. It's more so just is, like, oh, stop being a baby.
This is another thing. Mountain View police said they received no indication from Akdam's father or brother that she had a propensity for violence. Roughly 1 hour after our phone call to Akdam's family, her father called us back to let us know that she made a series of vegan videos for her channel on YouTube, and the company had recently done something to her videos that had caused her to become upset. But at no point did her father or brother mention anything about potential acts of violence or possibility of Akdam lashing out as a result of issues with her YouTube videos. Just
yeah, so I think
blanket it, we don't know what's up with her.
Well, yeah, I think she was upset about what she I mean, like this idea that there's a conspiracy theory against you is very much like a red flag. Yeah, as she far needed, as like a mental illness.
Yeah, she so. Needed help. But that's the problem, is they don't acknowledge that something is clearly happening, and they'll be like, it's not a big deal, it's just YouTube, and you're like, clearly this is causing a bigger issue,
right?
And you're refusing to see it.
Yeah.
I always look to the father.
I mean,
my problems are my father's.
I think everyone has their own responsibility as well. There's nature and nurture, and then there's yourself, so.
Nope, every problem I've ever had is my father's fault.
Well,
fact.
Anna.
Fact.
Fact. Fact. I can't believe this is episode 37. I guess we should get into it.
I'm in a spicy mood, so
yeah, I can tell.
Because immediately as soon as you came in here, you shamed me for liking the yodeling video.
I didn't shame you.
First thing she said is, we will not speak about this on the podcast, which was like, why are you trying to censor me? It drives me crazy.
There are just better things to talk about than some white kid yodeling at Walmart.
It's interesting for my week.
I'm glad we did talk about it, though, and I'm glad we did talk about it. And,
and now I'm spicy.
Oh, my God. Well, Anna's spicy. You heard it here first.
I'm spicy.
I have stuff to talk about today, and I guess we should get into it. I don't really have one topic in particular because I think it relates to each other, but I just wanted to bring up some stuff that I thought was really notable. The first thing I want to talk about is this article that I read in January that I've had this tab open for literally months because I've wanted to talk about it for so long. But Vic Mensa, who is a Grammy-nominated rapper, he's from Chicago. His actual name is Victor Quesi Mensa, but he's known professionally as Vic Mensa. He's a rapper and he's a singer. He's 24, and he wrote this article himself that was published on Time.com, and it's titled, What Palestine Taught Me About American Racism. And it's not that long of a read. I very much recommend you read this article. It's so just eye-opening, and he basically writes in first person and he says, last summer I traveled to Palestine with a group of African-American artists, scholars, and activists organized by Dream Defenders, which is an organization that's like, it's an activist organization that originated in Florida in 2012. He says, I'm not anti-Semitic and the views expressed in this essay are in no way an attack of on the people of the Jewish faith. My words are a reflection of my experiences on my trip and my criticism lies with the treatment of Palestinian civilians by the state of Israel, no more and no less. As a black man in America, being stereotyped as a criminal is more than familiar to me, and being unwanted on the streets of my own home and profiled by law enforcement. So he goes on to write about how he witnessed Palestinian children and women basically get harassed, and he talks to several women that had been trying to stay in their house. This woman, Nora, he said, he talked to her. Her house is in the old city of Jerusalem, and she's been trying to keep her home since the 1980s because the state of Israel has gone to unbelievable lengths to try to evict her and replace her with Jewish settlers. And at one point they say, or he says, the Israeli government even had her front door blockaded, which made her she had to climb out of a window 10 feet up and barely bigger than a dog door to get out of her house. And so that was one example he talked about when he met Nora. And he said that her home is just one heartbreaking casualty of war and the ongoing struggle between Israel and Palestine, in which heinous acts of violence have been committed by both Jews and Arabs. The blood on both sides run deep, and I do not pretend to be familiar with every nuance of the longstanding turmoil that engulfs Israel and Palestine. I can only speak to the experiences I had there and to the humiliating checkpoints where Palestinians were not only stripped of their possessions, but of their dignity. When I was walking the ancient streets of the old city, I watched a Palestinian boy thrown up against a wall and frisked by Israeli soldiers in full military gear, carrying assault rifles with their finger ever present on the trigger. Our guide tells us he's likely to be accused of throwing stones, and which is a crime punishable by a minimum mandatory sentence of 4 years. So just think about that. You throw a stone and you get 4 years minimum in prison. And this is a young boy we're talking about. And then he says the image of an Israeli civilian walking by a group of Palestinian children with an AR-15 rifle on his side and a pair of flip-flops is something that is in his mind forever. Mm-hmm. And there's a double standard that he found dumbfounding. And he goes on to talk about his experiences. And he talked to a lot of Palestinians, and this man told him, now that you have seen with your own eyes, return home and explain what you saw. Place pressure on the U.S. government to place pressure on Israel. And he says, this is why I write this. I write to inform all of those who will hear me of the treacherous denial of human rights to the Palestinian people living under the occupation. These scenes of the oppression and abuse will forever be etched into my memory and burned into my mind's eye. And he says the parallels between Black American experience and the Palestinian experience are overwhelming. He stared into the worm-infested water tank of a dilapidated house in the Ida refugee camp, and he thought of Flint, Michigan. He gazed at the 25-foot separation wall, in quotes, and the economic disparity is so transparent. He said the Israeli side looked like the Capitol in the Hunger Games. And he thought about Chicago's South Side from this comparison. He keeps relating it back to his experiences in America, and it's really fascinating because... Yeah, but he says, rage cannot describe how I feel thinking about the insects swimming in that water tank when just across the wall is an Israeli settlement with an Olympic-sized swimming pool. And then he goes on to say, as with the Black community in the U.S., the use of incarceration, racial profiling, and targeting of the youth of methods of control are heavily prevalent in the West Bank, in the occupied West Bank. The main difference I see in our oppression in America and that of Palestinians, he says, is how overt and shameless it is, and how shameless the face of discrimination is in the occupied West Bank. Because he says here in America they try to like make it seem like there's no problem, like, oh, a few bad apples, but he said in Palestine it's so shameless just how, I don't know, brutal they are to these children. He said he met children as young as 12 that had been detained by the IDF. And at any given time, hundreds of Palestinian children are detained in Israeli prisons, and many of them are under the age of 16. He says it gave him chilling flashbacks to his earliest experiences with police as a Black boy in America. And then he goes on to say, for once in my life, I didn't feel like the N-word. And he goes on to say how, for the first time, there was someone less fortunate than him, and he ruminated on that for a time, and... It's just such a good fucking article, and I really, he ends saying that there's a overarching attitude of Palestinians, which is, this is my home, it protected me, and I'll protect it. It's one of pain and of pride, of darkness but of dignity, and they have been made strangers in their own land, second-class citizens in the homes of their forefathers, and they refuse to be a memory. They fight as if their existence depends on it, and because it does. And they ask of all of us to tell their story. And I just love that he... wrote this, and I'm glad that Time published it, but I just hope it gets more I don't know, traction, because it's so fucking well put together and I really like it. So check it out in our footnotes to read the whole thing. I kind of just like went here and there. But that made me think, I guess, about how the Black experience relates to the experience of Muslims in particular, because Stephon Clark, who was shot 20 times in the back in Sacramento in his own backyard, his grandmother's own backyard, he was Muslim, and his body was so badly disfigured that because of the 20 shots fired into his back, that the traditional Islamic ritual washing when you're for the funeral process, they weren't able to perform it on him.
That's sad.
It's really sad. And there are so many beautiful pictures of him with his children and his wife who's wearing a hijab, and like, it's just, it's heartbreaking. And the images we see of Muslims today aren't these images that, I mean, that's I wanted to tie that into Muslims that are out in like the entertainment industry in particular and the music industry in particular, just because the representation is so important to just see people that are Black Muslims or just like Muslims and from Syria or whatever, because it shows people a different kind of image for those cultures that maybe they're not familiar with. In particular, I want to talk about SZA. It's S-Z-A, but you pronounce it SZA. She's a singer-songwriter, and she grew up Muslim. And Complex had written a really beautiful, long interview with her in 2013, but I had never knew she was Muslim until very recently. But she says that she was raised Orthodox Muslim in New Jersey, and her experiences being raised Muslim, please read this article on Complex, it's so good. And there are other articles, too, that her interviews where she talks about this, but it's so relatable to, at least for me, because she says that she used to wear baggy clothes. Her dad would make her put on leggings and long sleeves, because her mom is Christian, but her dad is Muslim. And she says that they never really had Christmas in the house, but her mom would go to Jummah prayer, which is like Friday prayer for Muslims. And her
Friday
dad.
Prayer. Yeah. Shout out Friday prayer.
Yeah. And she said that her dad was really tolerable because he never made her mom convert or anything like that. And she actually wore a hijab for a lot of her youth. And she went to a Muslim prep school. And it wasn't until she was in seventh grade when 9/11 happened that she says shit got weird and awkward. And she started getting bullied in school. And it became really uncomfortable and she started to get embarrassed. And then her dad's mosque came under fire and it was just a really bad time. And she wanted to fit in, so she took the hijab off. But then when she was a sophomore in high school, she started covering again, except when she was in gymnastics or cheerleading. But she said that she started feeling ungrounded because she really, the Muslim faith she says, really makes sense to her. And it keeps her from losing her mind. So even though now she's like this very successful, not very, I mean, like, she's successful. She's like making herself into what she wants to be.
She's nominated for Grammys.
Yeah. So even though she's that person, she still is so open about talking about her faith and how it's still something that is a big part of her life. Yeah, she says that the Muslim faith, she says, I'll feel the most comfortable with Islam forever. It just makes the most sense to me out of everything else, and there's less variables and less space for human error. It's very rigid, but it's safe because you can trust it. There are no photos or idols, no songs or hymns, and it is what it is. I like the clarity. And even her name, S-Z-A, it's an acronym that means, even though it's pronounced SZA, the acronym means, it represents the supreme alphabet. It's influenced or inspired by RZA, who's another rapper. And so the A in SZA means, it's from Allah. Because she wants to have all the rulers. And zigzag was from the Z. And then the S is either savior or sovereign. But Allah is like in her name. Or Allah, if you want to not have an accent. So the supreme alphabet is so... It's derivative from Islam in particular. So I just think it's just so cool. She's just so cool. And I'm not... And her story is so much cooler than what I'm trying to say. But just read the article and like learn about her. Because she's so fascinating. And it wasn't until fairly recently that she was even signed to anything. So in her interview, she talks about being Muslim as well. So I would just look her up. And even though I personally have, I don't know, like, I don't, even though I don't believe in anything, I really love when people have are making a good name for Muslims in general, because I still have a lot of like connection with that, and I'm sure Anna feels the same way. There's still, I don't know, it's like there's a certain pride, even though I'm not anything anymore. I love that she's someone that can be out there and like be proud of that.
I used to feel that way, and then I don't know, lately I feel nothing. I feel disconnected, probably because I'm not around my mom, who practices Islam.
Yeah, I think that I think that influence definitely helps when you see someone, how much peace it brings them, and you're like, oh, it's like meditative and stuff. Yeah. But also, let me describe that her name better than I did before, because I have a quote in front of me now. But SZA is from the supreme alphabet, like the RZA is ruler zigzag Allah. You have the rulers of sovereignty over oneself and the world around you. S is the supreme alphabet, and it stands for savior. But that didn't sit right with me, so I just twisted to either sovereign or savior, or however you feel. She's just really cool. In all her interviews, she sounds so intelligent and just, I don't know, humble. And she talks about how she gets into music and how her parents were really supportive of her. And how even though her dad was a Muslim and like he raised her really strict, he is now, he's accepted her for who she is, which is like every kid's dream that's raised Muslim, really. And then that made me think about, because me and Anna were talking about this other artist named Karen, who's Syrian Armenian, and she is, oh my god, when I said Syrian, my Siri came on. Which is hilarious.
Yeah, that's every time I say, are you serious? Siri.
But then, so she's a Syrian, Armenian-American electronic musician and a visual composer. And her opera was seen by Bjork, and she's been traveling Europe right now. But her, she's very much, she's from, she's half from Syria. So her parent, one of her parents is from Aleppo. And her first album, I believe, was called Aleppo, and it's very much influenced by her summers in Syria, because she was born in Alabama and then moved to Indiana, but then she would visit Syria every summer, and she just talks about all her memories there and the streets that she knew, and then she talks about how when she heard that Aleppo had been basically bombed to smithereens. She wrote Aleppo, and it's a song about her memories and how everything she knew was crumbling. And it's really, I mean, I really love that someone could take that kind of pain and make it into something beautiful. And not something, not just beautiful, but something that's like reachable for other people. And it gives people some context into like a Syrian American, like how they feel about the situation, and it's just like it's the best possible extension of yourself. I think music is so powerful, and it makes you feel so many things. But she says, I was seeing images of Aleppo on TV, and she just started making music as a therapy. And her family had relocated to LA at the age of 10. And so, and she has a very like FKA Twigs kind of electronic-y strange vibe. And she has been, her co-producer Steve Napala was the one who encouraged her to, quote, honor the oddities in her music and to find her voice. So, I don't know. I just wanted to shout her out and also SZA, because they are doing really cool things, and they're just representing people that I relate to, and that, I don't know, I think they deserve fans everywhere, and I like them a lot. Yeah. But visit the footnotes to see all these articles and interviews for both SZA and Karen, because they're really fascinating people, and I love them.
Also put Karen's SoundCloud?
Yeah.
Footnotes?
Yeah. But yeah, I think representation is just really important. And even just like me and Anna getting feedback on the podcast, being like, oh my god, I'm Middle Eastern, and I'm so glad people like me are out there. Like, even that, is seeing how important that is for someone, has been really eye-opening for me. So It's just important. Representation is important, and good representation, I should say, is important. It's not just turbans on the news, you know. But yeah, so that's my shtick. It was kind of all over the place, but I just wanted to talk about those things and encourage you to seek out the footnotes and all the rest of the stuff I was talking about to see it in more detail.
Turbans on the News would be a good band name.
That is a really good band name. T.
I'm writing it down. Not that I'm going to start.
What's the acronym? T-O-T.
It's like TV on the radio.
Oh my god, yeah.
Turbans on the News.
But on that note.
So that's my indie Muslim rock band. Turbans on the News.
But this is a good time for us to take a break. So we'll be right back. And we're back. So
we are. Sorry, I was still writing turbans on the turbans on the news.
Turbans on the news. Turbans on the news. It's a hit song waiting to be made.
Turbans on the news.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll write it. Just kidding. I do want to write a book though, but producer Sophie says we should start with a blog.
That's a good...
Would you guys want a blog from us? Tweet yes or no.
What kind
Don't
of blog?
Put any context.
This is
just
the first time
yes
I've heard about this.
No. Well, we'll find out. No context. Remember, just tweet yes or no. I mean, at us. Don't just tweet yes or no. We'll never see it unless you tweet it at us. So we'll either or may not start a blog about something, or we might not. We'll just write a book. I don't know.
First time I'm hearing about this.
No one has even asked us to write a book, so I'm just losing my mind.
I mean, it would be cool to write a book. I'm down for that. But Anna, what do you have to talk to us about today?
Today, because so many people talk to me about this on the interwebs. Sorry, I'm like about to burp. There we go.
Sir burps a lot. Is that the name that you were given?
What was it? Something like that. I don't remember. Young Burps is what I'm going by, though.
I like that.
I think Miles called me Sir Burps a lot, and then I said something like, Sir Burps a lot's my father. So he's calling me Young Burps now. Okay. So I'm going to talk about Iranian New Year.
Ooh.
Man, guys, I am just not in the podcasting mood, but here I am. Okay. Sometimes you really hit a podcasting wall where there's a mic in front of you, but you just cannot bring yourself to give a shit. And that's where I'm at because I record 15 podcasts a week because this is my job.
But you're so good at it.
But I'm going to bust through it because I had a Diet Coke. So I'm going to talk about Iranian New Year's, aka Nowruz. This literally translates to New Day. Ooh. No means new. Ruz means day. No ruz. New Day. Write it down. I'm going to do this strictly as a lecture. All right. If you look at slide one. Just joking. I really wish I could.
There's a PowerPoint in the footnotes. So just joke.
No, just like a 15-pages document that I don't plan on getting through all the way because a lot of it I've decided I don't care for. Okay. So Iranian New Year, also known as Persian New Year, it's celebrated by many, many, many groups, which you would have never guessed in America. It is the beginning of the new year. It usually tends to be between March 20th to the 24th. This year, it was March 20th. It's the first day of spring in America as we see it. But anyway, let me back up a little. So it has Iranian origins, and it also has religious Zoroastrian origins, which I can never say that word. But it's been celebrated by like very diverse group. Like I said, it's celebrated by over 3,000. It's been celebrated for over 3,000 years in Western Asia, Central Asia, the Caucasus Mountains, whatever, the Black Sea Basin, and the Balkans. But it is known as a secular holiday. Like it predates Islam, which is
well,
like what predates Islam? You know,
that's kind of like how Syrian New Year.
Nowruz does. But it actually still remains a religious holy day for Zoroastrians. Probably still not saying that right. So it is Nowruz is the day of the vernal equinox, and it marks the beginning of spring, like I said, in the northern hemisphere. It marks the first day of the month of Farvardin, which is that month in the Iranian calendar. And like I said, it occurs either March 20th or 21st, around there, depending on where it lands in that year. It's the moment the sun crosses the celestial equator and equalizes night and day. And that is, the day and night is calculated exactly every year. That's wild. I don't know how they do that. I don't understand the math of that.
That is really interesting.
I don't understand celestial equators. I don't understand equalizing days and nights. For a second I thought, is that what the movie The Equalizer is about? But no, it's not. It's about Denzel Washington killing people. Anyway, so the 10th century scholar Biruni, in his book, God damn it, I can't say it. I tried saying it out loud earlier to myself, and it was a mess. His work, Kitab, which actually means book, Al-Tafhim I-Awail Sinayat Al-Tanjim, whatever. It provides a description of the calendars of various nations, and according to him, it is a belief of the Iranians that Nowruz marks the first day when the universe started its motion.
Whoa, that is heady.
Prove it, man. Just kidding. He did. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, so before the collapse of the Soviet Union, Iran was the only country that technically acknowledged Nowruz. But when that fell, other like Caucasian and Central Asian countries gained independence from the Soviets, and they also declared Nowruz a national holiday. And then in 2010, the UN's General Assembly recognized the International Day of Nowruz, describing it as a spring festival of Iranian origin, which has been celebrated for over 3,000 years, like I said. And during the meeting of the Intergovernmental Committee of Safeguarding of the Intangible Heritage of the United Nations, Jesus Christ, which was held in 2009, Nowruz was officially registered on the UNESCO list of Intangible Cultural Heritage of Humanity.
That's a mouthful.
Jesus Christ. Sorry, sometimes these names for the UN, like, just call it one thing. Okay. So one of the big traditions of Iranian New Year, which I never do because I'm a lazy piece of shit, is the house cleaning, or shaking the house, as like
spring
your
cleaning?
Parents would call it. Yeah, your Persian parents just, yeah, would call it shaking the house. I don't call it that. I just say you throw some shit out. Spring cleaning, yeah. It's commonly observed before Nowruz happens, so people start preparing by like just doing intense spring cleaning. They fix things that have been broken around the house. They, like, you know, if that chair was wobbling, you unwobble it.
That's kind of proactive.
Yeah, who knows? This is the beginning of the new year. They buy new clothes to wear for the new year, and then they purchase flowers, like the hyacinth. Am I saying that right? Hyacinth tulips?
I will not know
hyacinth.
That.
We looked this up earlier, and I can't remember how to say it. Whatever. So it's like the it's like the rebirth of nature for the new year, and it's, so the intensive spring cleaning is a tradition by every household in Iran. Not mine, though, because I'm lazy. Well, I mean, I'm sure my parents do it, but I don't know. My mom, let's be real, my dad and I are very lazy. My mom does everything. Okay. As most, yeah. My dad just gardens. That's all he does. Anyway. So, it's customary to buy at least one set of new clothes to wear for New Year's Day, which, when I was young, we were allowed to not go to school that day, and my mom would take us out and let us buy one thing as our Persian New Year gift.
Yeah, you mentioned that. That's so cool.
And, you didn't gift me anything on Persian New Year. It was really weird.
I still don't get that fucking slingshot.
The slingshot is MIA. Okay, so another thing we do is we put out a table called the Hafsin. So this table holds 7 items that represent the new season, which begin with the letter S. And these items, S in Farsi. Don't get wild now. They don't.
It's not me. It's not my.
we just 7 plates of Shireen's face. So it starts with letter S. In Farsi, I repeat, in Farsi. So Sib is 1, which is apple. It represents beauty.
Oh.
Sir, which is garlic, represents good health. Serke, which is vinegar, represents patience. Sonbal, which is hyacinth. I literally have never said that word before, I do not think. Which represents spring. Samanu, which is sweet pudding, represents fertility.
Oh.
Babies.
That's
Sabze, which is sprouts, which represents rebirth. Sekke, those are coins, that represents prosperity. And then they also, in more like Iranian-American households, we do a live goldfish and we decorate eggs.
What do you mean a live goldfish?
It's not dead.
So you, there's like a fishbowl?
Yes.
Oh, cool.
With a live goldfish versus just like a dead goldfish floating.
Okay.
Which, let me tell you, that's my parents' cat's favorite time of year is to try and kill this fucking goldfish. It's a real thing. We had a serious like goldfish murder problem in our household around New Iranian New Year.
Oh, shit.
It's not even a joke.
Damn.
They go for it. 'Cause my mom has this giant wine glass. It was not a wine glass. It just looks like a wine glass, but it's like this huge tub. And she puts the fish in there. And then all the cats are like, well, it's fishing season.
Right.
To them, it's literally fishing season. Yeah. It's not the new year. And so we have caught our cats on multiple occasions on the table trying to fish the goldfish out. So sometimes we have to put something over it because it causes problems in the host Nye cat household.
Yeah, that sounds dramatic.
Oh, you guys, you don't even know what we go through.
Traumatic for the goldfish, too.
Yeah, so the Hafsine's origins are not clear, but it's been happening for the last 100 years. So who knows? Anyway, I could have done more research on that, but let's be real.
That's so interesting. Why do you think the letter S is so important? In Farsi, I mean, not obviously not that letter S.
I don't know. It's just the scene. I don't know. The half scene.
Oh, scene is also the letter S in Arabic, too. Scene.
You were seen.
Huh. Me and Anna are just spacing out.
I'm sorry. I just started thinking. It's not really that kind of medium, is it? So, yeah. Nowruz marks the beginning of the new year in Iran's official calendar. The solar Hezri calendar. The present-day calendar system was first enacted by the Iranian parliament on March 31st, 1925. And so Iran's Nowruz celebrations, they last 2 weeks. It starts with before Nowruz is Charshanba Suri, which is the fire festival.
Is that when you jump over the coal? Or
the fire.
Or the fire, sorry.
Yes. And that's celebrated before, like I said. And then there's other, you know, it lasts 13 days, so.
That's so interesting because it's so similar to what I read about the ancient Syrian New Year. How they celebrate spring for, like, 12 days before. And it's all about, like, rebirth and shit. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But I love that they held on to that tradition because it's so beautiful.
Yeah, well, there were some issues because in 1979 revolution, in the 1979 Iranian revolution, that the Islamic government, they tried to suppress Nowruz because they were like, oh, it's a pagan holiday and it's a distraction from Islamic holidays. And it's basically become very like politicized and it's stupid. They should not care so much. But anyway, let's go to Charshanba Suri. So it's a prelude to the new year, Iranian New Year. So in Iran, it's celebrated on the eve of the last Wednesday before Nowruz, which is, I don't know how many days because depending when it falls. It is usually celebrated at night. And it's celebrated by people basically creating bonfires or little fires and jumping over them, as well as setting off fireworks and sparklers.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, should I tell a really crazy story that's really dark and sad?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
I mean, is it like a...
Well, 1 year my cousin died on Charshanba Suri because he was setting off a firework because father was coming to visit in Iran and it hit the gas heater in my uncle's house and like blew up half the house and killed him.
Holy fuck, Anna. That's
it's wild.
Very sad.
It's a very it's a very important day in my family's life. Because we remember Arash. How tattooed old on was my he? Hand. He was 17.
Damn.
This was
early
2000s.
You mentioned that tattoo before. Damn, fuck.
Yeah, and it was kind of wild because it blew up the house and my cousin, his older sister, was supposed to get married a week later.
Oh, my God.
And so like around Eid, New Year.
I like that you say Eid.
Yeah, that's what we call it. But they
call it Eid.
Eid, yeah.
Eid.
Just,
yeah.
So she got badly burned and her fiance left her. Right. Wait for it, though, because he's a piece of shit. And so, but, you know, obviously it's fine. My family put a lot. We basically, like, put all our money together to send her, like, all over the world to have surgery. And so she's fine. She's been completely recovered over the years. And then she met a new man who is very affluent.
Okay.
He owns the airports of our city. My father's city. He does quite well. He hooked it up with some plane rides, like, two-seater plane rides when I was in Iran last, which is chill.
Okay.
So she actually kind of came up from it because she married an even better man. And now she has a little boy who is really kills me sometimes. Literally, he like attacks me to play with me when I'm in Iran. Whose also name is Arash, named after her younger brother who passed. And he, last time I was in Iran, I was there for Iranian New Year last year. No, not last year, because this is 2018. I was there for 2017 New Year. And we ran into the father of the man who left her after she was burned.
Oh my God.
And he was just like, oh God, I hate my goddamn son's new wife. I wish he'd married you. He's such an idiot.
Oh my God.
I can't believe this happened. Like, I will never forgive our family for what we did to your family. And my cousin was like, all right, yeah, that's cool. My life is great. Bye. And got on her, you know, private plane and flew away. So it's kind of an amazing story of like, fuck you. Anyway, back to the Charsam Basuri.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was wild. Our family name was huge in Iran for that day. Because my cousins, my uncle had a very big house that got blown up. So pretty wild. Okay. So anyway, they also sing the traditional poetic cook Zardi. I am so bad at singing this. My dad always makes fun of me. Zardi Yemen as tu. Zardi Yemen as tu. Sorhi yetu as man. God, that's my dad's going to kill me. Which translates to, my yellow is yours, your red is mine. Which means you want the fire to replace your pallor, your sickness, and problems with warmth and energy. So that's what that translates to. That's kind of why they jump over the fire. Because
I like that so much.
I'm leaving my illness in the fire or something.
Yeah, that's so cool. I'm so envious of that pagan holiday still being important. Because when I learned about Seder and New Year, I was so happy about it because it's also predates Islam and it's pagan and about like Ishtar and all that. And that's so cool that you guys still have that tradition because it's so rad. And yeah, it's not about religion or anything. It's about like,
it's about partying.
Life and yeah.
I'm in it for the gifts. Just joking. Also, there was a really funny thing when I was reading about it on Wikipedia, and it says trail mix and berries are also served during the celebration, which I was just like, fucking
are they
mixed nuts, dude? Mixed nuts. That's what they're referring
every
to.
Every table,
mixed nuts.
Yeah. Try like I didn't. I was like, for the first time ever, I just realized that trail mix.
Yeah, that's just
is mixed white nuts. Mixed nuts.
Yeah, I thought that was really funny. I put it in there because I was like, yeah, okay, mixed nuts.
Okay. That's funny.
And then there was this other thing which I never really did, probably because I was in America for most of this, and I never really did it in Iran when I was there for Iranian New Year, which was spoon hitting, which is a tradition observed on the eve of Charsham Basuri, which is similar to Halloween custom of trick or treating. It is practiced by people basically wearing like masks or disguises and going door to door to bang spoons against plates or bowls. To receive packaged snacks. Probably, let's be real, mixed nut snacks.
Yeah, probably.
And on that note, while you are probably going to get your mixed nut snack, we're going to take a quick commercial break. And we are break. Get it?
Call back.
I just discussed Charsham Basuri. Moving on. Oh, okay. Ooh, you know what I want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
So there's like two like traditional figures in Iranian New Year, and one is Amu Nowruz, who's like he like brings the kids gifts and he's like the Iranian Santa Claus. He's the husband of Naneh Sharma, with whom he shares a traditional love story in which they can only meet once a year, which
Ooh.
Is dramatic. He is characterized as an elderly silver-haired man who puts on a felt hat.
Huh. I like that they just made Santa Claus emo.
Yeah. And he has a walking stick, a long cloak of blue canvas, a sash, a thin pair of like woven top shoes, and a pair of linen trousers.
Oh, he's styling.
Yeah, he's just like Santa Claus. He's Iranian Santa Claus.
But sad.
And then the most problematic figure in Iranian New Year, which is Haji Firuz, who is basically like a blackface kind of character.
Wait, have you seen Atlanta? The one with about German?
Yeah.
And they also have a black guy, like a black... That's so... I wonder if that's like a thing in a lot of pagan holidays, to have like that token black character in your celebrations. Anyway, watch Atlanta. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's weird. Blackface was totally cool in most holidays, which is weird. But I'll... Okay. So Haji Firuz, he's a character with his face and hands are covered in soot. That's it is. And he wears bright red clothes and a felt hat as well. And he's a companion of Amu Nowruz. And he dances in the streets while singing and he plays a tambourine. And he just... has like traditional songs where he introduces himself as this serf and he's trying to cheer people on, and he refers to like the people as his lords, so he like serves them or whatever. He's kind of like a jester in a way.
Okay, that's interesting.
But to kind of like battle the like blatant racism of him having blackface, they now kind of they only paint half the face black. I mean, in some places, other places in Iran don't seem to get the message. So yeah, anyway, he's Google Haji Firuz.
Oh gosh.
HAJIFIRUZ. It is such a mess. It's like, it's like when you're like, I just like pulled my collar a little. And I remember growing up, I took like Iranian writing and speaking classes. Or it was mostly just to like learn to write in Farsi. And around the same, obviously for an Iranian New Year, our teacher would hold this like huge like Iranian New Year like show, play, dance thing with all her students. And it was like a great honor to be asked to play Haji Firuz.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Because it was like funny or like...
We were all just dumb. But like...
So
But you didn't actually... You didn't... Well, I remember my brother got picked and I was like, oh, he's so lucky. But the kids didn't actually do the blackface.
I guess that's one... That's a good thing.
I think they like the parents were not like...
Yeah.
We don't need to fuck around with that. But it was like early... Like it was the 90s. So like...
Yeah.
Who the fuck knows?
No, but so in Atlanta, there's also in what's the German like beer celebration called?
Oktoberfest.
Yeah, so in he goes. Donald Glover's character goes with his girlfriend / ex-wife person and
baby mama.
Yeah, this baby mama, and they go to this German celebration, and there's also a black character that's supposed to be like a thief though, so that's even more problematic. But that's so I'm gonna look this up and like see. That's just problematic for all cultures.
Yeah, are you surprised Germans? Okay, anyway, but yeah, I remember my brother like not like I was very like offended by my brother's like lack of like interest in it. Like I was like, you fucking piece of shit. It's a great honor to be Haji Firuz. Like everyone wants to be Haji Firuz. I'm just a fucking tree. And he's just out here like
you probably made the best
whatever. Tree. Like I remember my mom being like, go give them candy because they like pass out candy. And he was just like, I don't even care. And like my mom was like, fuck are you doing? And I was like, he does not respect
Haji Firuz.
Yeah, I remember being like real upset, like how like cool he was acting. Like I was like, you've been given a great honor in the way you are at. And I was probably like 7. I was like really breaking it down for him. Like, you are ungrateful. And the fact that you are treating this like it's such a joke hurts all of us.
He was like, Anna, you're 7.
Yeah, he's like, chill out. But I took it very seriously, you know? Like, I, you know, it's how I got here today.
It's like white kids and Christmas, I'm sure. You know?
I was that play was very important to me. Anyway. And you just have to come out at the end and hand out candy. Like, you know, that's all you have to do.
He was just being too cool.
Oh, God. I just remember being like, you know, I would have done it so much better. If I had had that opportunity.
That honor.
I would have been the best Haji Firuz, the best female Haji Firuz to have ever been seen.
We could still make it happen.
Nah.
But we shouldn't.
It's not really my interest anymore. Yeah. My interests have definitely swayed. Okay. Anyway, so like I said earlier on, Nowruz lasts 13 days. So on the 13th day of the new year, Iranians leave their house and they join nature, if you will, and they picnic. And this day is Sizdeh Bedar, which translates basically to Nature Day.
Cute. Oh, like Earth Day.
Yeah, sure. I don't know. So you know how I said earlier the sabzi that represents rebirth, which is just like bean sprouts, kind of like green bean sprouts. You know, they like grow. Which my mom loves giving to the cats. So Persian. She's like, it is very good for them.
That's adorable.
It's like, okay, mom. So you take that and you basically set it off into the water to like float away.
Oh.
So you like take that setting and for Sizdeh Bedar and you put it in the water and it just floats away. You just basically like, dump it. You're like, get this shit out of here. And like younger women, they tie it. Leaves to the greenery before sending it off, which is like an expressing a wish to find a partner. which I've never done because I'm like that cool. No, I'm just kidding. I just never really did that. But I did float them out one time, and I remember, I think I like floated the, I like grabbed one from the table and I went and put it in the water, and this kid was like, "That was mine!" And I was like, it's all the same shit. And then like there was like a huge problem with what I did. Anyway, that's just some childhood drama for me and my other Persian friends. Kids. Jesus. That is like the saddest story I've ever heard. Like some kid being like, "You threw my sabzi down the water, and I wanted to put it down the water." And I was like, "Well, shit, man, grab the 15 others." Yeah. Jesus Christ! If I ever see that kid again, I'll punch him straight in the face. And I know I can see your face in my mind. Anyway, I don't know, what, guys. I'm spicy today.
Spice.
So, another little thing from Sizabedar is called the lie of the 13, which is the process of lying to someone and making them believe it. And then, hey, what do you know? It happens to be borrowed from April Fool Day.
Oh.
Because the end of whatever Iranian New Year, coincidentally enough, is around then. So
I really think the same kind day.
Of falls on that. Yeah.
It's the same day as Syrian New Year because they're both so similar. So I think it's just an expansion on that, which is really beautiful.
Yeah, so that's my piece. I tried to sprinkle my own little things in there.
Oh, I'm glad you did.
Like the kid I'm going to fight.
You're out there.
Sirus, man. Sirus, I will find you. It's fine. I'll probably never see him again. So, yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. And
I really did. I'm envious of having that celebration. Invite me to the next one. I want to go.
I mean, I don't really go to a lot. Last year, I celebrated Sizdapadar with actually one of our guests, Sarajun.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just went to the beach. We were like, nature day, but we're going to the beach because it's LA. And we did not set any green beanie sprouties into the water because lifeguard probably would have been like, what are you doing? No, I don't know. I don't think it matters. Wave would have just crushed it. So, yeah, that's how we celebrate.
I love that. I love that a lot. There's so much beauty in that kind of just earth and nature love. I love it so much.
Quick shout out to The Rock for hanging out with Mohammed bin Salman, Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, someone sent that to us on Instagram too. Let me shout you out because Anna already knew about it, but I did not.
I read it in passing, and it was just, in my mind, I was like, this is so uninteresting to me that The Rock is hanging. Like, of course he comes and goes, can I meet The Rock? And of course The Rock is like, hey, sure, because he's, like, the nicest guy on Earth. So, like, to me, it was just like, yeah, and clearly nobody cares about, like, dead Yemeni children, but whatever.
It was Instagram user dbear32. What is your name? Desiree. Thank you for sending that to us. The Rock actually posted it. I did not realize that there was a post from The Rock himself. He said it was a historic night.
I've decided to invest in weapons to kill Yemeni kids as well. It was a historic night.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen Ballers? Quite boring this season.
How else do I get views on my page? Let me just exploit.
The Rock does not need views. The Rock is a great actor. Have you guys seen Jumanji, the new one yet?
I still haven't seen it.
So good.
I need to see it based on your review.
I don't know. Or maybe it's not good. I don't know. I don't know anything anymore. I watched it in one of those theaters that has nice seats. So.
Yeah, The Rock is really charismatic.
He's so charismatic.
He was great in Moana.
Oh,
you're welcome. That song is so catchy. And he's a great singer.
He's wonderful. He's a goddamn dream.
I did hear that he's a conservative, though.
Oh, that's been new. I mean, not been new. Been news. He's been, like, Republican as fuck. Well, that's most rich people. Just wait. When I make enough money, y'all ain't ever going to see me again.
What?
I'll be my Republican castle.
No! No, I refuse.
It's what it is, and I'll have a bunch of Mossad.
From the dark side.
All the like former Mossad agents will be my bodyguards, guys.
No,
let's not deny the fact that once I'm out of here, I'm out of here.
No, I'll never let you go to the dark side.
It's not the dark side; it's the rich side.
Is there a difference? I don't know. Probably not.
Well, the dark side's a concept in Star Wars, right?
It is,
and the rich side is where I'm going. should we call it a year?
A year? Do you want what should
we'll be back in a year to do the next
episode. Right. Next year. Well,
no personal talk today because Shireen's got to go and I have just no interest in anything anymore. I have to go to San Diego this weekend.
Oh, you do?
For a girls' weekend for my friend's birthday.
You sound so pumped about it.
Oh, no. This won't come out by the time. It's a secret. Jesus, what am I doing right now? I'm just like word vomiting all her secrets. No, this will be out after the weekend. So like she won't hear from me on here. Let's hope. I'm quite nervous.
Well, that's exciting. It's fun.
I refuse to edit this out because it's more work for me.
But also, it's cute, and I'm excited for you to go on your girls' weekend.
We'll see.
Yeah, San Diego's fun. What are you guys going to do?
I don't know.
Cool.
Her boyfriend's planning it, so who knows?
Sweet.
And if you let a man plan something, so we'll probably be, like, eating PB&Js or something.
Right.
Oh, God, men. No, I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fun. We'll eat sushi, probably.
Yeah.
We'll go dancing at the club. I don't actually know if that's a real thing.
Go to Hillcrest and...
What?
And Hillcrest?
What's that?
It's a neighborhood in downtown San Diego.
We're staying in... I don't know. I have no idea. Guys, I have yet to read the Facebook event information that I keep getting tagged in.
Okay, well, tonight's the night. Tonight's the night. No? Okay, yeah.
I'll just show up with the 1 hour mix of the Yodeling Boy techno remix ready to party and everyone will ask me to leave and I'll get to go home and sleep. Oh my god, it's gonna work out perfectly.
Well, thanks for listening and thanks for everyone that watched my film via Ethnically Ambiguous's post about it. And you guys, some of you texted me, or not texted me, messaged me directly about the film, and that really meant a lot to me, so thank you so much. Follow us on Twitter at ethnicallyamb, A-M-B, on Instagram at ethnicallyambig, A-M-B-I-G. And you can like us on Facebook, Ethnically Ambiguous. And our website, if you want to look at all the footnotes we have, is ethnicallyambiguouspod.com. Did I miss anything?
No, I think that's it. You can follow me on, what's it called? Twitter, at Anna Hosnier. You can follow Shireen on Twitter.
Shireen Y, W-H-Y. And then Instagram is Shiro Hero, and Anna is Anna Hosnier.
Come at me on Instagram, I swear to God. I'm just joking. I don't know. We'll see. Guys, slow process.
Yeah.
I'm afraid of judgment.
We'll break her down.
You won't. Some of these reviews y'all out here leaving are breaking my heart. But I'm trying not to read them, because Jack O'Brien says I shouldn't read them. Yeah, okay. Actually, he said... Because last week I said that he said that shit about the Yemen humanitarian crisis.
Right.
And this morning he was like, yeah, you guys made me sound like I didn't care or something. And you know, just, that's not what I was trying to say. And I was like, Jack, okay. So I'm going to correct myself. Jack is a wonderful guy. And he does care.
Yeah.
He's just my boss, so I like to throw him under the bus whenever possible. I mean, it's very easy.
Jack's a great guy, and I am lucky.
He hasn't slept
him.
In days because he recently had a new baby who's so cute. So he doesn't sleep anymore. So it's very easy to easily just trip him and make him fall under the bus.
Okay, yeah, that's one way to do it.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he cares. He does care.
He signs my paychecks, literally. So he's a great guy. Guys, he's a great guy. Guys. By the way, guys, gender norm? What is that?
Oh, no. I don't want to talk about that.
We get all your emails, betches.
No, I mean, I appreciate that email. We got an email from Amanda Shepherd, who loves the podcast.
You know her by name. That's
wild.
I'm
looking at it now. Okay. The email is open.
Look, we don't know everything.
But That's thank you for sending say... it to us. I apologize for saying that guys was gender neutral.
You don't need to apologize for that. That's an easy mess up. We all do it.
I mean, I feel like in California, it's just using dudes and guys for both girls and guys and whatever else.
I say dwads now.
Yeah, I'm going to try to normalize that. Let's make that happen.
Come on, dwads. Someone's going to email us like, do you know what dwads stand for? It stands for destroying women. So you should really consider not saying the word dwad.
But speaking of that, go ahead and email us if you want, ethnicallyamb@gmail.com, and leave us a nice review on iTunes or whatever, or your podcast app or whatever, and it'll make our day, and we can read it out loud.
Yeah. 5-star review us, I guess.
5-star rate and review. A nice little sentence or two, you know?
Yep.
Cool. Well, I guess that's episode 37.
Mm-hmm. bite that ass. I bite that ass.